Blog Talk Radio.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till
Glory, glory, glory. He lives, he lives, he lives. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord God Almighty. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, your host, The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle, here on Blog Talk Radio Live at our Thursday Bible study, 6 o'clock. Glory be to the Lord. And we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. You could dial 516-418-5944. Look for the number signs to press that and look for the number 1, and you'll be connected to the studio. If you have a comment, question, or testimony, or you have the what we're talking about regarding the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We've been studying, is Christianity real? We know that there's about 4,200 religions, beliefs out there in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. It reminds me, when I read in the scriptures, how the angels spoke to Mary and said, "We know who you're looking for, Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He is risen." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He is risen. He's not here. And Mary was talking to the angel, thinking that he was the gardener, and thought it was that they took the body of Christ away, but not recognizing that the gardener was actually Jesus Christ himself. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we see where Jesus was buried in the sepulcher. There was one angel sitting on the lower part by his feet, and there was one angel sitting by his head. That's the mercy seat, my brothers and sisters, a picture of the mercy seat, because Christ is the mercy seat. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Yes, Lord. And the Lord bless this servant with my wife. And in the year 2016, we was able to visit Jerusalem. And we went into the sepulcher, whom they say this is the sepulcher that where Jesus was buried in. And we went there, and there was gates there. You couldn't go in but so far. But you could see where body was laid, and they had to extend the bed area where the body was laid longer, because whoever was laying there was much taller than what the sepulcher was made. And there was a signal, an insignia on the wall there. It had the initials JC and then the Alpha and the Omega, a signal signifying that this is where Christ was buried. Hallelujah. But he's not there, the angel said. He is risen. Why you look for the living among the dead? He is alive. Hallelujah. We know that from the Gospels. When we read, the angel came, he rolled the stone away, he sat upon it, and a great light shone, and Christ came out. He didn't need the angel to roll the stone away. He could have come right through the stone. He could have come right out. He could have rolled the stone away himself. But that all things may be fulfilled, you know, back with the people, the leaderships later on, they fell down as dead when they saw Christ resurrected. They started shaking, and they fell down as dead. And this is what they told the Pharisees, and they got paid off and say, look, just say that the disciples stole the body. They came at midnight as they fell asleep. And soldiers was hesitant, because in the Roman government, if you fall asleep on duty, you're liable to lose your life. But the leaders of the Jewish people said, look, we'll talk to your heads and take care of the whole situation. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're going to read some scriptures that we have in the New Testament. But remember one thing, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2, that God spoke to us in times past by the prophets. He has in these last times spoken to us by his son. So if God spoke to us through the prophets in times past, it means somewhere in the Old Testament we're going to find a reference to the resurrection. And Christ from Psalm 16, and he also quoted from Psalms 22. And in doing our research, we see that in Psalm 16, we have a reference to the resurrection. And we're going to read that, chapter 16 of the book of Psalms, in its entirety, because we don't want to take the word out of context. Remember what resurrection means? That at one time, the person was dead, but now they're alive. We have many episodes where Christ gave life to those that were dead, like Jairus' daughter, like the young boy that were going to bury him, and he stopped the cameraman and he touched the briar there, and the son awakened from his sleep, and he returned the son to his mother. And so from a burial to a celebration, glory be to the Lord. We also know that he resurrected Lazarus, and glory be to God. And we also know how he was resurrected. So we're going to read the scripture today, and we're going to analyze them and see, because it's very important. You know, Paul said that if we take away the resurrection from our belief, then our faith is in vain. So that's why the resurrection is very important. In reality, also, if there was no resurrection, then there wouldn't be no rapture. There wouldn't be no resurrection of the dead, of the living, right? Christ will not descend, like in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He will not descend, but he resurrected. And not only did he resurrect it, he ascended to heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father. Glory be to the Lord. So let's go on and let's, it's not on the page of our study. It's not on the front page of our study, but I've included it in our study because as I was studying the resurrection, the Holy Spirit guided me, and I want to share with you where it is in the Old Testament. What does it say? So here we have David is writing this 16th Psalm in reference to this. Let's read the 16th Psalm. Preserve me, O God, for indeed do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extended not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied. Thou hastened after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a godly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At the right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then you study the Torah and you study the Jewish traditions. They believe that a spirit lingers around the body about 3 days. On the fourth day begins to decay. So we see here in verse 10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." So we see that Jesus Christ, as he said, that he was going to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth, just like Jonah was 3 nights and 3 days in the belly of the beast. And then he will resurrect. So we see when Mary and the other ladies came to the sepulcher to wash the body and prepare it for burial, when they came, the stone was rolled away already, and Jesus' body was not in the sepulcher. Concerned that the soldiers took away the body of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ resurrected on the first day of the week. So the first day of the week begins Saturday sunset till Sunday sunset. So sometime after the sunset did Christ resurrect from the dead. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that it was that the sun had not risen yet, because the soldiers said they fell asleep. The soldiers was there when the angel came down. There was a great earthquake, and the angel came down and moved the stone, and he sat upon the stone, and Jesus Christ walked out of the sepulcher. Hallelujah. Showing that he had resurrected from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sin could not hold him in that grave, because there was no sin in him. If you remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples in the Gospel of John, he said, "Let us go, for the devil was coming. He has no part in me." And sure enough, the enemy had no part in Jesus, because Jesus wasn't born from the seed of man. He was born from the seed of a woman. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there was no transference of seeds there. There was no part where Mary and Joseph came together so Jesus could be conceived. Nope. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. As per the scriptures, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And because of her faith, it wasn't a physical union, but it was because of her faith, she believed the message that was sent to her. And because she believed by faith, that word came in her and took on a human body. Human body was prepared for Jesus Christ, and he came into the womb, and Mary had him in the womb growing, and the proper time she gave birth to Jesus Christ, and she named him Jesus, like the angel said to Joseph, "He shall be called Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin." Jesus had no sin. His mother and father did not consummate their marriage at that point. And so there was no transfer of seeds there. So the enemy didn't have anything in Jesus Christ. So we see that Jesus Christ, it says here, that he would not leave his soul in hell. Christ descended into hell itself the day that he was crucified on the cross. And he spent some time there preaching to the unbelieving saints, unbelieving spirits, who had disobeyed God, who had done the wrong thing. Then he resurrected on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he was with the disciples 40 days, showing them and talking about him with many infallible proofs. So he was not left in hell, and his body did not see corruption. He resurrected on the third day. So his body did not begin to decay. He became like the word of God says. He became, took on a glorified body. He took on the flesh again. Not like a spirit that has no flesh, but he ate with the disciples. They touched him. They saw the wounds on his body, and they conversated with him. And they were with him many days. If you remember the disclosure when they were fishing in the lake, how Jesus once again spoke to them, and where he told them to cast their net, they recognized it was Jesus. Peter was the first one to swim ashore. They recognized Jesus, and when they got to the shore, Jesus had already cooked a fish and had bread prepared, fellowship with them and commune with them and share with them the things that he wanted to share. And then he took Peter to the side. He said, "Peter, do you love me?" Three times. And three times Peter said, "You know, I love you." And he said, feed my lambs. So there was going to be a time where when Christ ascended to heaven, that Peter was going to lead the flock, so to speak. And he was supposed to share with the flock the message of salvation, the message of resurrection. If you take the resurrection away, we are people most miserable. But here's the gospel. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And it says the following: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." So here's the gospel. "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, of the 12. Cephas is another name for Peter. Cephas is Greek. Peter is Hebrew, or Petros. After that, he was seen of the above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And the last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meant to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So we understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the person who's dictating this letter is Paul. Paul is the one who persecuted the church. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we have preached, and so you believe. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" That was the teaching of the Sadducees. "But if there is be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead is not raised. For if the dead raised not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so we understand, brothers and sisters, that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have resurrection. We will be with the Lord one day. We will shed this body, and we will be with the Almighty because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We shall be resurrected. Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read what it says there. And like always, what we're going to do, we're going to just let the Spirit, let the Word speak for themselves, and let us apply what the Scripture says. So we're going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again." We're talking about the resurrection. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. As the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That is the rapture. That is the resurrections, the first resurrection of the saints. Because this is the resurrection of the righteous. So the righteous will be resurrected. And we notice what the Scripture says. Them that were asleep in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we're going to read other passages. We talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we're going to read chapter 4 of the book of Acts. And we're going to emphasize verse 33. We're going to begin at verse 1. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Here we have the book of Acts, and we have the disciples talking about Jesus Christ. "Being grieved that they taught the resurrection from the dead, and they lay hands on them and put them in a hole until the next day, for it was now evening time. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believe, and the number of men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kind of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the infinite man, by what means he is made whole. And you have to remember that Peter and John was going towards in Jerusalem, and near the church there was an infinite man who was not able to walk since his birth. And he was made whole. He came into the church celebrating and praising God because he was made whole. Because Peter said unto him, look on us, silver and gold have we not, but what we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And sure enough, that miracle took place. So here we have the leaders of the church, of the Pharisees and Sadducees, questioning Peter and John. Be it known unto you all, verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucify, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at the north, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And behold, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifested to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further, among the people, let us straightly there threaten them that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they have further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for what which was done, for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and the others had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage, and the people imagined a vain thing. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of the truth against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that which all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, but they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither any of them that ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had things common. And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Verse 33 again. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord, and great grace was upon them all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We give you all the thanks. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Again, we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. The number is 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign and press the number 1. That will connect you to the studio. Your host is The Way, the Truth, and the Life Tabernacle of the Church. And I'm your pastor, Pastor Carlos A. Ramos, Jr. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little disclaimer before we continue, and that is that the songs that we play here on Blog Talk Radio, they do not belong to the pastor, they do not belong to the church, and they do not belong to Blog Talk Radio. They belong to the individual artists. However, because we bought the CDs or the DVDs, in it we have permission to use their product. So we thank the Lord for that opportunity and that open door. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let us read the last scriptures before we continue, before we go on. It's going to be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And we're going to read from verse 1 through verse 25 and see what the scripture says and how we apply it to ourselves. It says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So we see that Mary came to Jesus Christ at a dinner, and she was sorrowful for her sins, and she cried over Jesus, and her tears, she used them to wipe his feet, and then she dried them with her hair, and she anointed Jesus Christ with the precious oil that she had. Glory be, preparing, and that's what Jesus said. Everywhere this gospel is preached, what she has done shall be spoken of, because what she has done was to prepare his body for the burial. That's why when Mary went with the other sisters to the sepulchre, they didn't get a chance to anoint the body, because he was already anointed through Mary, the sister of Lazarus. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So who was the sister of Martha? Mary. Hallelujah. So it was Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And if you remember at one time, Jesus went to the house of Mary and Martha. Martha was cooking and Mary was sitting down at Jesus' feet. Hallelujah. And Martha complained that Mary was not helping her. But Jesus told Martha, look, what she has cannot be taken away from her. Verse 6, when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, say he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These then said he, after he had said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awaken him out of the sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in a grave 4 days already. So you remember 4 days? The body begins to decay. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And Bethany, if you know, it was real close to Mount Olivet. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Their mother, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Lord, yes, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which shall come in the world. And when she had said so, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came up to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then were with her in the house and comfort her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, follow her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. And when Mary was come, where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone laid upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I say it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then gladly the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, What do we for this man of many miracles? If we lay him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all, not considering that it is expedient for us that one man shall die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spoke he, not of himself, but being a high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went there unto their country, near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jewish Passover was nigh at hand, and many were out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then saw they for Jesus, and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see how Lazarus was dead for 4 days. He was wrapped in clothing for the dead. There was a napkin placed over his head, and he was laid to rest in this tomb, and there was a rock placed over the opening. Hallelujah. We see how Martha met Jesus on the way. We see how Mary met Jesus on the way. And we see how Mary was crying and Jesus groaned in his spirit. And, you know, the Word of God says Jesus wept. He loved Lazarus. He grew up with Lazarus. And both Mary and Martha had indicated to Jesus that if he was there, Lazarus will have not died. They had faith in the resurrection, but they didn't understand that Jesus Christ was the resurrection. That in him, no one would die. That in him, everyone would be alive. That in him, no one would need to die, because in Christ, there was no death. He is the life, the one that came and gave us life. Hallelujah. He is the one. Thank you, Jesus. In him, there is no death. He brought life to the area. He brought life to the people. And that's what happens even now, brothers and sisters. If we go to Jerusalem, you're going to see an empty tomb. There's nobody can open a sepulcher. Nobody can open up any box of bones and say, this is Jesus. Nope, because he resurrected. And we read in Corinthians chapter 15 how many of the disciples saw Jesus. And we see in the Acts chapter 1 how he ascended in a cloud up to heaven. The angel said, ask the question to the disciples, you men of Galilee, why are you staring up into the heavens? This same Jesus will likewise come back. So the same way that he is leaving on the clouds, he's going to return back. And he's going to, you know that according to Thessalonians, the dead in Christ will rise first. They're going to receive a glorified body. And we that remain shall be caught up together with. And you know, we preach the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, because according to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, it says very plainly, very succinctly, it says, you have not been appointed, or the church have not been appointed to the wrath of God, but to obtain salvation to the Lord. So what is the wrath of God, my brothers and sisters? When does the wrath of God begin? If you remember in reading the scriptures in Revelation chapter 6 and 7, where Christ begins to open the seals, the wrath of God begins with the announcement of the white horse, he that sat upon the white horse. We see the wrath of God fall upon the earth. But where's the church? The church is already in heaven. Because in chapter 4, John, a type of the church, hears the words, come up hither. There's an open door. And the church is in heaven at this time. Because when you read chapter 5, the 24 elders, when they prostrated themselves down, the angel said, there's not a man in heaven, on earth, or under the earth worthy to open up the seals. And then one of the elders said, but look, the Lamb of God has prevailed. So there was man in heaven at that time. There was man in earth and under the earth. But who were those that were under heaven? None other than the church of God. The church was raptured up. A lot of people don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, and they're going to wait for the mid-trib. They're going to wait for the post-trib. And you know, that's a very dangerous position to take, very bad decision. It means you don't have faith in the pre-tribulation rapture, and you're waiting for the mid-trib or the post-trib. Well, this time, if you remember by reading the scriptures, the wrath of God has fallen upon the earth. And then, you know, a lot of people, they read the scriptures where it says Satan will make war with the saints. Those are those people that are going to be saved during the tribulation time. It's not the church. It's not the church. If we read Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 9, it tells us very clearly. It says, for God had not appointed us, talking about the church, to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. That's the resurrection, my brothers and sisters. That's what will take place with sense in the clouds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So let me read, in the time remaining, we got 3 minutes. Let me read chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are of the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God had not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we shall be with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and for peace among yourself. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourself and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophecy, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, and also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read in all the holy brethren. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So keep studying. May the Lord richly bless you until we meet again. On Sunday, we have a Bible mystery at 6 p.m. The Lord bless you. Amen and amen.